Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
Ready to roll into savings? Visit Dave Gill Chevrolet at 4700 East Broad Street in Columbus, your hometown Chevy experts. Right now, take advantage of tariff-busting deals on some of our most popular models. Experience the bold new 2025 Silverado 1500 with its powerful V8 engine and cutting-edge tech. Or discover the all-electric 2025 Chevy Equinox EV for an eco-friendly commute without compromising style or range. Looking for value? Browse our extensive inventory of certified pre-owned vehicles. From sporty coupes to family-friendly SUVs, each rigorously inspected for your peace of mind. Cruise over to Dave Gill Chevrolet or visit us online today at DaveGillChevy.com and drive home happy.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of Ringside Chaos, the professional wrestling discussion segment of the Bear of Texas podcast and 6ix9ine Radio. It is yours truly, Alex Alcazaz, a.k.a. the Bear of Texas. And let's proudly welcome back the master of mayhem himself, Brooklyn's finest, Ricky Frickin' Litwinkowicz. What's up, Ricky?
What's up, everybody? I'm back.
You are back. Now, Ricky, we usually do a WrestleMania preview, but this year we're going to do it a little bit different. But first, I got to ask you, are you excited for WrestleMania 41?
No.
No. Really?
No, I'm not excited for WrestleMania. I don't normally do this. I don't normally say it the way I really want to, but not a great spot for WrestleMania date-wise. And I'll go to explain it, but the fact being is that there's a holy holiday this weekend. And in certain locations, especially like here in New York, the kids got to go back to school the day after WrestleMania. So, you know, they're on vacation now, but how are most of them being able to stay up to watch it, knowing the fact that they got to go to school in the morning? You know, like, maybe some better planning might have been done. I understand they tried to get away from doing it at the beginning of the month. Baseball season starting, XFL and all of the other off-brand NFL stuff is kind of starting at that point. But you know what? Like, it is ultimately weird to have WrestleMania this late in the month, and it just put a kibosh for a lot of people for the date-wise.
Really? So, would you say that the build-up towards WrestleMania has gone good or bad, and why?
I think that they started a little early, obviously with Jey Uso and the Gunther. Obviously, that's going to be night one. I thought that's a little bit too much of a drag out. Like, it gives us way too many different questions to sit there and answer, or even ask for that matter, for the way that just the whole lead up to the whole match goes. Once again, like, I feel like a lot of stuff got dragged out a little bit. A lot of the participants in matches aren't full-time competitors or full-time faces on either one of the brands. That makes it a little bit more difficult. You know, like, I thought that a lot of it was dragged out a little bit way too much, to where I would have really liked to have had a little bit more surprises, maybe like that 3 weeks leading into WrestleMania to get me more excited. But now, as like everything is drawn down from Elimination Chamber back in February, like, we had no real big filler in the middle. So you had 7 weeks of, oh, we're just going to try and put as much storyline in as we can. And when you have people that aren't on the brands as frequent as some of the others, you know, it kind of dampens it a little.
I agree. And there's one thing that a friend of mine who listens to the show pointed out. It involves the final boss, because we have not seen the final boss since the Elimination Chamber, am I right?
Well, also remember, you know, he's running with TKO, and he's also got his movie career. And, you know, like, he has a lot of eggs in his basket, you know, with Easter coming and all. you know, it's kind of weird that, you know, you're not going to see him. But again, he's not a full-timer. He is an appearance guy. That's all he is.
Right, and the reason why I bring this up is because a friend of mine said that the whole Cody versus John Cena story, because the whole thing with the final boss being involved, yet the final boss has not appeared on WWE programming since the whole heel turn. A friend of mine says that the story has been negatively impacted because of this.
Well, I do kind of agree with it, but also when you have... when you're on like a Legends deal, or you're on a deal like, for example, John Cena, that only had, I think it was about 37 dates after WrestleMania, you really got to be kind of strategic with that. And again, like I said, though, if you plant The Rock there, he's going to be ultimately almost like the Vince McMahon backstage role, where he doesn't have to be in front of the screen, or in front of your screen, or in front of the camera to make a significant impact. Well, he's already made his impact. How much more of an impact do you need him to make on the way up to WrestleMania? You've already got John Cena doing that on limited appearances. So there you go.
Okay. Well said. So, Ricky, like I said, we usually do previews, but I'm feeling something a little bit different. And I'm not going to lie, the reason why I don't want to do the usual preview slash, you know, whatever, it's because there's a lot of matches on the card that I really honestly not excited about. I don't want to be that negative wrestling fan that's just ungrateful, but I'm going to be honest, I'm not really as excited for WrestleMania as I feel like I should be, and there's a reason why. I think there's a lot of lack of excitement on this card. And I hate to be that guy. I really do. But I'm just going to be honest with you, man.
I'm not going to say top to bottom. I think there's 15 matches in total for the two nights.
Something like that, yes.
Okay. Hey, you got to remember, they are stretching out 2 days. Where WrestleMania, like, I kind of feel like some events should be only one day, some should be two. But at this point, because again, you look at the size of the roster, right? There is a lot of people, with SmackDown being 3 hours. Hopefully that'll go back to 2 hours at some point. I think I'll be happy as a pig and shit when it goes back to 2 hours. And then Raw is kind of like that 2.5 hour unpredictable time length, where if they were at 3 hours, you may be able to get to see a little bit more talent. Like, there's a lot of jigsaw puzzle stuff going with the 2 days of WrestleMania. And to be honest with you, I probably would have loved to have just seen a regular 5 hour WrestleMania. But again, you can't showcase everybody in 5 hours. For example, when was the last time you saw the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal on WrestleMania? Was that 3 years ago? When they had that whole concept?
I think it was longer than that. I think the last time we actually saw it may have been in 2019, but I'm not sure.
But again, like, that was what pre-show was for. You know, like, if you really didn't have to want to see certain dumb matches, you know, like, those got thrown on the pre-show. And I would rather have had maybe like an hour pre-show and then give me the main card and be okay with it. But now it's 2 days. Obviously, WWE needs to make the money for the 2 days, because now they're in the venue like Las Vegas, where they know they really should be able to cash in. Vegas is a big spot. A lot of people will go. I'm pretty sure betting odds will be at all-time highs in Vegas. That's the reason why they're doing it, is because of the money. They can make the money for the 2 days there. So you're going to have your casualties of war when it comes to having matches on at WrestleMania. Some that should be there, some that are not going to be there, or some that really don't belong to be there. You know, this is why WWE, every PLE, likes to put that one championship match on SmackDown right before the pay-per-view on a Saturday, which, again, I think is probably nutty, because now once you get toward the summertime, how many people are really going to stay home to watch it? You know, like, a kind of along those lines. So, again, you're going to have matches there. You just got to hope and pray that they live up to the hype.
Well, let's hope so. So, again, even though there's a lack of excitement for me on the card, I do plan on watching every single second of WrestleMania that I can. Again, I don't want to be that fan, but I'm just going to be honest. But you know what? I'm still willing to actually sit down and watch it, because we all know that there's fans out there that are so unimpressed and so unexcited that they're not even going to bother watching. I'm not going to take it that far. I'm still grateful enough to have the chance to watch it.
Yeah, you have to have a match or two where you have to go to the bathroom or go get a snack or, you know, like me, go smoke, do something very entertaining, because I know that it's really not going to keep me entertained and I'm not going to want to try to fall asleep, you know, during WrestleMania now that it's two nights, and especially Sunday after dinner and dessert and everything else to stay up to watch. And hopefully they don't really kind of like destroy the time that they finish. Being the fact that Vegas is a 3-hour time difference. So, like, again, like, I'm kind of hoping and praying they can, you know, do something viable.
I hope so too. So, Ricky, this episode is basically going to be about three huge predictions that we have for this show. And Ricky, I'd like for you to get started. So name your big prediction on what you think is going to happen at WrestleMania.
Oh, one prediction that I think, and it's been kind of like going through my head a little bit for the last few weeks. Women's tag team title match. Liv and Raquel are going to retain. And here is why. Bayley turns heel. Her whole face run has been legitimately a joke. Only up to like the last 3 weeks has she been winning any matches. She's not had very many wins in the last 2 months alone. And I really think the Lyra Valkyria thing is going to be kind of like that trigger. Like, things are not going to go correct in the match. There's going to be a lot of disagreeing. Like, Bayley going back to being a heel would fit her character better than her being a face.
I agree.
And then she'll rightfully go back and get the IC title from Lyra Valkyria.
See, part of me would say that it would be the other way around. Now, this is not my first prediction, but part of me believes I'm more invested in the fact that Lyra turns heel, but Bayley turning heel would make more sense, but I think the point is that we're going to see a heel turn because, as you said, Liv and Raquel are retaining, and to be honest with you, I think it makes sense because Lyra's already the women's Intercontinental Champion. They're not going to put two belts on her.
Well, it's not the first time that they haven't had it where, obviously, a champion has had two belts at the same time. The only question is... how are you going to keep both of them relevant when you're already trying to keep the IC title relevant enough as it is? Like, when you have the tag team titles with Liv and Raquel, obviously through Judgment Day, they're going to be relevant because it's going to be something that they show all the time. You're trying to make the women's division as relevant as possible. That's why they made the IC title. They have the women's title. They have the tag team titles. You know, like, as many titles as there are out there, you got to make that women's division more significant. And I think on a singles title, maybe, just maybe, you kind of need to have that singles heel champion. And I think it's the point now where we haven't seen Bayley base for a while. You know, you saw her with
Damage Control.
Damage Control, thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Like, as she ran with that, it was good. But you only turned her face because you wanted her out of Damage Control. That's almost a year and a half now that's gone on. Get her back into being a singles heel. I want to hear the ding-dong thing again. Like, as annoying as it sounds, like, I think Bayley being heel would probably be a better fit for her right now.
Absolutely. All right. So we heard your first one. Are you ready for mine?
Sure.
All right. Well, we all know that the New Day is going to go over. We all know they're going to win the tag team titles. They're going to beat the War Raiders. But that's not my ultimate prediction in this one. My ultimate prediction is that Big E returns and he helps the New Day win. It turns out that the whole thing was a setup right from the start. They all planned it together just to fool the entire world. Big E shows up supposedly to go against the New Day, but he swerves us all. He basically helps the New Day, and the New Day is a faction once again.
The only thing that I would say against that is you would be taking a very big risk with having Big E not being able to participate. And if he's not going to legit physically be able to participate, you've kind of downgraded Big E a little bit. I really do kind of like Big E in the whole commentator thing. The whole, like, preview show and the post show. Like, I like him in that spot. Like, I don't see... I really... If Big E would actually be able to participate, like, somehow miraculously, like, during a backstage segment or whatever, they turn around and say, oh, well, now Big E's been cleared to perform, and having them back to being almost that heel stable back in the day, I would say, yeah, go with it. But right now, I really, as much of a swerve as it would be, I really just can't see Big E just jumping back into it head first.
Okay. I mean, my case is just a thought, but...
I mean, it is WrestleMania. Anything can happen.
I mean, hey, just wait till Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania. I mean, oh, I can't wait. But as far as the New Day, I mean, it's obvious they're going to become the new tag team champions. I mean, I just can't. I mean, I'd be surprised if the War Raiders actually went over.
I think the next one is going to be a very, very interesting kind of setup. And I believe this one's on night two. Tiffany versus Charlotte. And with all of the lead up that we've had to this match, Charlotte attacking Tiffany out of nowhere. 2 weeks ago, their SmackDown promo goes off the script. And believe it or not, I was actually a fan of it going off the script. Because... I really do want to see a bitch-on-bitch battle. Like, I want to see the two blondes legitimately try to beat the crap out of each other. So I don't think this is going to end up being a wrestling match. This is going to be an actual fight. Like, I really think at some point, like they tried to do with Drew McIntyre right at the Royal Rumble with LA Knight. Like, they had that little shoot spot in the match. Damn, these two are going to go head-to-head. Obviously, I'm looking at Tiffany coming out of it. As much as we want to turn around and have Charlotte go after her father's record the same way John Cena is, that whole song and dance, like, I don't see it happening. And I don't see it happening, but the fact being is that they really, truly tried to bring Charlotte back as a face. And they messed it up. They messed it up. The crowd immediately jumped on Charlotte because she won the Rumble. If she would have won Elimination Chamber, then it might have been different. But for them to push her automatically to come back and win Rumble is where they twisted the whole situation up. So now, if you really don't want to crush the momentum that Tiffany has right now, Tiffany's got to win it, but it ain't going to be easy. And I'm telling you, it is going to be a fight.
Agreed. And to be honest with you, if Tiffany wins, that's actually going the right way because, you know, fans don't want to see Charlotte be shoved down their throat again. So we heard your second one. Now, mine also involves women's wrestling. The triple threat match, which I predicted for so long on this show. Bianca Belair versus Io Sky versus Mommy Rhea Ripley. Well, obviously, Bianca Belair is my pick, but obviously that's not the big picture. My ultimate prediction in this one is Bianca finally turns heel. And why do I say finally three times? Because I thought it was going to happen in 2022. And then we all thought it was going to happen in 2023. Since it didn't happen twice, I'd given up on it. But now I have a feeling it's going to happen for real. Now, if it doesn't happen, I'll be a little bit embarrassed. But then again, it's just a judgment call. I mean, you've told me not to be too hard on myself for not getting predictions right. At the end of the day, it's just a prediction. But I think this time we are going to see Bianca Belair turn heel. If not Bianca, probably Rhea. But to be honest with you, I think it'd make more sense if Bianca Belair turned heel.
Well, I'm going to add on to your Bianca thing.
And I know Darnell might not be happy to hear this.
Well, okay. So, but there is a really big twisting addition to why you can now actually have Bianca heel. This is going to be a continuation from another match. Hopefully they have on the same night, because none of the dirt sheets show in the actual complete night one, night two lineup. This stems from a confession. And it would be an awesome storyline. Like, I brought this up in the past. I'm bringing it up again. It ends up being Naomi confesses to Jade it was Bianca's idea. Now, bear with me on this. No pun intended. The whole Bianca and Jade tag team championship run, Bianca's getting most of the spotlight. Let's not throw any shade on this. Go back, research the history of how many times Bianca Belair got the pin when her and Jade were the tag team champions. Jade was supposed to be the understudy, according to Bianca, but they were supposed to be equals as tag team champions. So now you get to the point where, you know what? Bianca now sees the fact that she can go for a title run and get Jade out of the way. That is kind of the way it goes. Because now you don't want Jade going and winning a singles title. Bianca becomes selfish, dismisses Jade with that whole incident of her getting thrown onto the car and the crap kicked out of her or whatever. Now Bianca's on her own. Because for a long period of time, you don't hear Bianca talking about Jade. Jade's out of the picture. And she pulls in freaking Naomi because it now takes the Jade shadow away. So now you have Jade and Naomi at WrestleMania. Jade kicks the snot out of her. And during that, she screams out, it was all Bianca's idea. That will lead into Jade interjecting herself, because there's no DQ in a triple threat, by the way. And there, you're going to start to have the Bianca Jade fighting going on, which would leave Io and Rhea by themselves. could make for a very, very interesting triple threat match, I would say.
So that's your third bold prediction?
Well, I had to add on to yours because okay. it's been boiling in the cesspool of the mayhem.
Okay. So basically to build on off of mine, okay, and then Naomi reveals that it was all Bianca's idea in order to basically push Bianca furthermore as a heel.
Yep.
Okay. Well said, sir. Absolutely well said.
Third one is a very, very complex one. I'm going to bite off of some of what has been out there. Again, they're dirt sheets. They're rumors. I've gone back and done the research. Okay? I have a feeling the two big title matches are both going to merge. Jey Uso and John Cena. All because a lot of the numbers and a lot of the events are all matching up to a lot of theories that are out there. At the end of night two, you will see the final boss, John Cena, and Jey Uso standing in the ring all side by side. The new corporate takeover.
So Jey Uso turns heel too.
Yep.
So that's it. That's your third one. At the end of the night.
And a lot of the signs for the last 2 weeks, what color has Jey Uso been wearing?
Mm-hmm.
Black. They always have that saying, always been on black. Yeah. I have a feeling that the whole shebang is going to all come together. You go to look at the way John Cena was eliminated at Royal Rumble. He was just legitimately tic-tac pushed off the side of the ring. That wasn't a viable fucking elimination. Let's kind of, you know. And then the whole two thing by The Rock, that doesn't show very much. And he goes and says he's 20 steps ahead. Who was number 20 at the Royal Rumble? Jey Uso. There are way... I know it's a conspiracy. But if you go and you look at all the conspiracy parts of it, it all fits. So to see the last two of the Royal Rumble, John Cena and Jey Uso, at the end would prototypically shock the world.
Especially because of how over Jey Uso is as a babyface with the whole Yeet Mania thing.
Until this past Monday night, he really wasn't doing it.
Yeah. So that's a sign right there. And you know what? I like it. So at the end of the night, John Cena, the final boss, and the new champion, Jey Uso, all in the ring together. And we have a new huge stable.
Yep.
A little reminiscent of nostalgia from the Attitude Era when The Rock was the corporate champion.
Mm-hmm.
That right there is a brilliant prediction, my friend. So I guess it's my turn.
You got the final one.
Well, everybody kind of knows this one because I've been heavily talking about it. But it seems that a lot of fans are not really understanding why I feel this way. Look, I don't know how to make myself more clear because, look, the history between CM Punk and Paul Heyman, it's all legitimate. No, it was not. It's not just part of it. No, it's real. When CM Punk first arrived in WWE, Paul Heyman was CM Punk's biggest supporter. Now, some have asked me, well, why did Vince sign him if he didn't like him? Okay, well, we don't know if Vince didn't like him, but maybe Vince was just not. Maybe Vince felt that Punk wasn't ready for it. This is about that Elimination Chamber match at December to Dismember, which I'm sure you've seen several times, right, Ricky?
Mm-hmm.
We know that Paul Heyman wanted CM Punk to go over in that match. Now, I don't think that Bobby Lashley winning was bad. I mean, Bobby Lashley, nothing against him, but I mean, I'm not mad that they put the belt on him instead, but I think it should have been CM Punk It would not surprise me if Bobby Lashley agreed with this, but I'm sure Bobby Lashley had to, you know, keep quiet in order to stay out of trouble, which I have nothing but respect for. Bobby Lashley was just doing as he was told. But CM Punk had to be the one to go over, and Paul Heyman pushed for it and pushed for it and pushed for it. Vince just did not go with it, and then Paul Heyman ultimately, I think, got fired or just walked out of the company. But the bottom line is, CM Punk, based on what we know, is CM Punk did not have many supporters, except for Big Show, obviously, because he actually wanted to submit to Punk. He came in as that match as the ECW champion. He wanted to put Punk over. And I'm sure RVD felt the same way, because RVD was another one. CM Punk mentioned him as well. So Paul Heyman and Punk have been basically together since the beginning. All right? So it's obvious that they're going to put Punk and Heyman back together. But my prediction is this, is that Punk turns heel. That's number one. Well, that's all obviously the ultimate prediction. But to add to it, well, okay, you know what? I kind of got ahead of myself. Paul Heyman turns on Roman Reigns and aligns himself with CM Punk. But here's the ultimate prediction. Punk and Heyman turn heel. And I think CM Punk heel at this point of his career, he's going to be a better heel than he has ever been before. We've seen CM Punk be the best heel before. To be honest with you, I think he's going to do better this time. He might catapult himself to establishing himself to one of the top five biggest heels in history. He might actually end up being number three, right under Ric Flair and Roddy Piper.
Well, that's not where my prediction was going on that. Well, I can tell you that much.
Let me guess. Your prediction was Paul Heyman does betray Roman Reigns, but aligns himself with Seth Rollins. Is that where we're going?
I wouldn't say... Okay, so... Paul Heyman is kind of like the true odd man out on this whole thing. Okay? He kind of is. If you go to the last two nights that the three of them have been in the ring, Paul Heyman hasn't been really touched. And it's kind of weird. Because now you had Rollins saying, now he owes me a favor. Which I really don't think that thing is really out there to be touched. I do have Rollins winning, by the way. But I don't have Rollins coming out of it as a face. I have Rollins turning heel. Because if you really want to kind of look at it, Heyman really isn't a mouthpiece for anybody except for fucking Reigns at this point. And Reigns is on that, I'm there when you need me deal. So I'm really not going to say, oh, well, Reigns is going to come out of this smelling like roses. That's not happening. Okay? And the only way Reigns come out of this with any sort of thing is if he has, like, new bloodline or something. Like, they start up another faction with Reigns being the head of that. Because he hasn't been the same since last year's WrestleMania, and that's only when he had the bloodline with him. So, I'm not putting any roses on Roman Reigns at this point. Reigns is still going to be on that, again, like, limited time deal. Rollins, on the other hand, really doesn't need Heyman as a mouthpiece, because he's damn good on the stick to begin with.
Oh, yes.
So the only way that you really have Heyman staying with anybody might be Punk. But again, Punk's another one good on the stick. So we're only revisiting Paul Heyman's promise to Punk when he said that day that you will main event WrestleMania, I will be in your corner. Like, I think at this point, Heyman's just a pawn. Like, that's all he is a pawn. Do we see a new side of Seth Rollins? I believe so. Like, I believe now, like, he's obviously had the feud with Punk. It's still kind of ongoing. Like the coals are still simmering a little bit, but not as hot as they were when it was a one-on-one thing. And I think it's more Rollins to put it on Reigns, like, your time's finished. Like, you're not top dog material anymore. Like, you're going to be gracefully working your way down to, like, lower upper card to, like, mid card at this point. Because you're not going to be around and relevant as much as you used to. But I think we see, like, the sick side of Rollins. And that's what we're going to come out of it as. Like, we're going to be getting the Rollins that was pretty much the Rollins that robbed WrestleMania. That's the Rollins we're going to get.
Except it's going to be turned up to 20. We're going to see a Rollins from 10 years ago, but believe me, we're going to see one that's even more driven. Believe me, Rollins has grown up a lot in the last 10 years, and by that he's gotten better on the mic, his skills, his expertise. No, yeah, I mean, we're going to see a glimpse of the Rollins from 10 years ago, but it's going to be turned up to 20, my friend. We're going to see a whole lot more psychotic and driven Seth Rollins.
I think that main event, being the fact that we'll probably see Jay and Gunther in the beginning, like, I feel like we're going to need that, like, big kickoff tonight one. That will definitely be a train wreck main event that will definitely try to keep people more involved for day two. But damn, it is going to be an all-time main event for especially a non-title match. I think that'll be the banger.
So you have Seth Rollins coming out on top.
Yep.
Who gets pinned, CM Punk or Reigns, and why?
Reigns.
Okay. It would make sense because in the last episode, you see, I even explained about the possibility of Paul Heyman being aligned with Seth Rollins because I said, how fitting would it be if Paul Heyman betrays the man that was betrayed by Rollins over 10 years ago? It makes sense, doesn't it?
But it also makes sense in the fact being is that Roman Reigns has never beaten Seth Rollins.
At least not when it mattered. Not when it mattered.
Not when the big lights were on, no.
No. No.
So why would it not be, let me just stick it to Reigns again and beat him at Mania in a triple threat?
Mm-hmm. Just like I did 10 years ago when I took the... So yeah. So you could say I took the title from you 10 years ago and now I took your wise man.
Yep.
Yeah, so it makes sense. So, all right, so our main three. So you have Rollins winning, turning heel and winning. Obviously, I have Punk winning, but the main prediction is that not only he turns heel, but Paul Heyman betrays Roman and aligns himself with Punk. We see that again. But also, so that's my ultimate prediction, but I'm not ruling out Paul Heyman actually aligning himself with Rollins because we all know Rollins is going to turn heel. So one of the two is going to happen, Punk or Rollins turns heel. But the one that's more likely to happen is Rollins turning heel. But CM Punk could turn heel. It could be Punk.
I also base it along the lines of the like whole going back to the Bayley thing.
Right.
Like we've seen facing up, we need to see heel. Yeah. And I think Rollins, I mean, he fits face and heel both well.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's time for a change.
I agree. I 100% agree. Now, I do have a question. Based on what you said about Jey Uso, so if Jey Uso wins the title and turns heel at the end of the night, does that mean the Ring General is headed towards a face turn?
The only way I see that happening as a face turn would have to be how the match in itself goes. If Jay wins and Gunther is still strong in defeat, leave him as a heel. However, if you don't put him off strong and you make it look like Jay is just kicking the snot out of him the entire match, and it doesn't look like Gunther has anything really to stand tall on, then maybe the face turn might be the way to go. Mm-hmm. But nobody has ever seen Gunther as a face. In his entire history of being in pro wrestling, I'm not going to say sports entertainment, but in pro wrestling itself, Gunther has always been the heel. I don't know how well that experiment with turning him face would be, but you could push him a little bit stronger if he doesn't have the title as a heel, which is the problem he's having right now because you really haven't thrown him against anything really significant in his title run since SummerSlam last year, I believe.
Yeah, when he beat Damian Priest.
So you really haven't had him anything significant, you know, you have to see. But I think that's all going to deal upon how that match legit scripts out and see how strong he comes out of it.
I agree. Now we got it before we close it out. We got to talk about Randy Orton.
Randy Orton,
is he really going to wrestle Nick Aldis?
I don't think he's going to wrestle Nick Aldis. I end up have a feeling. And it's been a weird feeling because there's been a lot going on with a lot of performers leaving AEW. And there's been a significant list, which we're not going to front out like the Aleister Blacks. There's been names, okay?
Miro.
Well, that's where I was going to kind of go with that. I think they bring in Miro. That would be like they did with Rollins and Cody 3 years ago at WrestleMania. Rollins had pretty much like an open challenge card on his list, and they brought Cody in. So why would you not, if you know you've already signed Miro, right? Because I have a feeling with other little things that might happen, like that fatal four-way for the Intercontinental title, that brings in Aleister Black on Raw on Monday. That would have been another kind of prediction spoiler thing that we could have talked about, but I don't think it's as significant. Miro Day at WrestleMania, and I believe Orton's match is on night two. So why would you not bring in a surprise, knowing the fact all this is not going to get back in the ring again? I don't think that's even a feasible idea. But why not bring in somebody like Miro? That would put a shock in the night. The unexpected opponent for Randy Orton. It's not like they haven't worked together. They have worked together in the past. So why not? Give me another surprise match like they did with Rollins, and I'll be happy with it. Because Orton's going to keep signing five-year deals until he can't walk no more. So, like, you got to have him on the card.
I agree. Now, is Miro as a face or as a heel?
I don't, you know what? Night one, I really wouldn't put a tag on it. I wouldn't put a tag on it, only for the fact being is that it's his first match back. It's a surprise, you know, like, you're really not going to, you can't bring him in as a heel because everybody's going to be all excited that it's going to be Miro Day at WrestleMania for all of the fans that actually remember what Miro was all about, you know? He's not coming back with Lana. He's back by himself. It gets him back into the feel of being back in WWE, actually being valued as a member of a roster. And he's probably going to go to SmackDown anyway. So why not? Like I wouldn't mind seeing Miro versus Orton. You know, it's something that would freshen up WrestleMania a little bit.
Right, and honestly, Miro should use the God's Favorite Champion persona. I mean, look, Miro Day, Rusev Day. Look, we liked it, but you know what? I want to see Miro portray the God's Favorite Champion persona. I mean, they're not gonna make him a villainous Russian again. That would be stupid. They're not going to have him be that, you know, the American-hating big Bulgarian guy. Yeah, they need to continue with the God's Favorite Champion persona. Now, I seriously hope and pray that Miro, that this time things can work out for him because he's a tremendous performer. Unfortunately, what happened at AEW was not only creative differences, but the guy could not stay healthy.
Yeah, but they never really gave him a viable decent run in AEW. Like, I thought, like, they brought him in and they were going to do tremendously a lot more with him.
I mean, they brought him in as the best man. I mean, that was already a red flag. I think.
No, but you had him run as the TNT champion for like 6 weeks.
No,
and then all of a sudden,
actually, it was 140 days. I remember the reign.
Yeah, but you know what though? Like, he really didn't do anything massively viable. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're gonna have Miro, let him run as a bigger champion than fucking TNT champion. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm. No, I agree.
It's that TNT champion is like being the TV champion. Like, it's not a viable, like, spot. Make him a tag champion. At least, you know what? He'll be a little bit higher up on the pedestal a little bit. Or actually give him a shot at the AEW world title. He wasn't snipping anything close with that. And I think, you know, if they bring him back, they're going to make him IC champion. Or they'll make him United States champion, which would be pretty fucking hilarious, by the way, if they did that.
Right.
But
we all know Jacob Fatu is winning the title. I mean, Jacob Fatu feuding with Miro. You would ask yourself, who's the face? I would say probably Miro.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, I'm sure it'd be entertaining, but you see, for so long, I had a feeling that I didn't think Sami Zayn would be the opponent, but I had a feeling Sami Zayn would come in and cost Orton his match, and Sami Zayn would turn heel again. But it probably won't make as much sense, because does it really make sense that Sami Zayn blames Orton for Owens' injury?
No.
Yeah.
Because if they're saying, if he's come out and said it that it was earlier than January, or even around January, they weren't interacting with each other enough.
Right.
You know, like, you really can't put that on Sammy at this point. So,
no.
You know, like, I would have definitely have loved to see, I definitely would have loved to have seen Owens at this Mania. I probably would have loved to have seen Sammy at this Mania. Like, there's a few people I really would have loved to have seen. But you know what? As like we alluded to earlier, there's only so many spots. 7 one day, 8 another. Like, again, unless you're going to do a battle royal or you're going to do some type of gauntlet match, probably would have been even interesting for it. But what are we really seeing?
Right.
Like, for example, I believe the SmackDown tag team titles are not on the WrestleMania card. I might be wrong, but again, there's always a set of titles that are not being represented on WrestleMania. Like, you obviously have the triple threat match. That's a non-title match. Okay. There are a whole crap load of other title matches on there. Randy Orton's match is a non-title match. Jade and Naomi are not a title match. And to be honest with you, I probably would have not seen Jade and Naomi on WrestleMania. You could have put another title match there. You should make WrestleMania elite for just your titles. And then maybe something like the triple threat with Reigns, Rollins, and Punk. But that's where I believe WrestleMania really should be. You should be showcasing all your champions.
I agree. Well, Ricky, before we close it out, why don't you tell the folks about 6ix9ine Radio, sir?
Oh, 6ix9ine Radio. Going to be going through some massive changes. We have some co-host changes coming up. Four Corners was on there earlier today, talking about Triple H and his historic WWE run, because he's being inducted into the Hall of Fame legitimately on Friday, the 18th of April. Shout out to both John Pond and Chris Rex for doing that. We do have upcoming events in May, at the end of May, for MEW, and the weekend after that, we will be at Wynn, So 2 weekends in a row. If you want those tickets, get them while you can. Franklin, Maine is going to be popping, and so will Wynn here in Brooklyn. So if you're in Maine, or you're in Brooklyn, New York, or anywhere close to those locations, reach out. We will get you the tickets. They are like $20. And it is some of the best wrestling you will ever see. I'm not even joking.
Thank you, Ricky. And as always, ladies and gentlemen, Ringside Chaos is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Pandora, and on YouTube. So if you would please hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell. That way, Ricky and I know for sure that you're not going to miss out on any exciting upcoming content. Ricky, thank you very, very much for joining me. Ladies and gentlemen, Ricky, I hope everybody enjoys WrestleMania, and we'll see y'all next time.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply.